Because these mics aren't working too well. Try it again.
Hi, we're calling a distress, canine distress for Spike.
All right, we'll try it now.
Canine distress calling for Spike.
Any better?
Death row watch for Spike.
Well, I can hear him because he's next to me. Can you hear him? Barely, huh? Some must be
barely
on the microphone. Let's see.
We are experiencing...
Mic 1 and mic 2 doesn't work at all, it seems. I've got the little red knob in the top and the mic's all done up. You turn all the way to the right, man. One here. Yeah.
Hello, are we coming through?
Is he coming through? Oh, he's coming through now, okay.
This is a canine distress call for Spike.
Is it too much?
Chocolate Lab being held in death watch at the SPCA.
Okay, John, thanks for calling.
It's coming through now.
That dog, someone wants that dog dead.
2200 7th Avenue. He's a chocolate lab that we're trying to save his life. He's been in lockup now for 15 days for committing the crime of walking alone on the streets of Santa Cruz down by the boardwalk. He's a lab. He loves water. He went and played by himself, caused no problems, wandered for 2 days, and he was arrested and sentenced to death for walking around without a human. You know, that's the plight of animals, and the plight of homeless with animals in this city without a license is that you will lose your dog. They can be put to death, and we're trying to save this one. We don't have a lot of money, but they said they needed $62, and we got that. They said that was not enough. We got one of our campers to volunteer to adopt him, and they said that was no good because we live in state parks. All we want to do is save the dog's life and find him a good home and delay the execution for a week or two until we can find him a decent home, and we will do that. We took care of him for 2 months out in the state park system until his junkie owner left our camp and took him downtown and traded or sold him off to a drunk who let him wander away. It's not Spike's fault, you know, and Spike doesn't deserve to die for this. He's only 1 year old. He's handsome. He's strong. He has a noble heart and mind. He's healthy. He's never been aggressive. Well, another person went over yesterday and tried to adopt him, Sherry Connable, and they refused to let her adopt him. They've now are calling him a hostile. And you know what they do to hostiles in Iraq and Vietnam and Guatemala, right? Or Korea. Right, that's the end with the flyboys. Hostiles are on target. This dog can be killed here real soon for no fault of his own. And we have people ready and willing to take care of him and give him a place to stay and help him find a permanent home. There's no reason for him to die. The SPCA shouldn't be doing this and putting us through bureaucratic hoops. We would like you to call them at 475-6454. SPCA at 2200 7th Avenue in Santa Cruz. 475-6454. Try to speak to Zoe. She's the supervisor. We have a meeting over there today. We have another man who has offered to adopt him who owns a legal residence, and we're going to try to adopt him again at 11 o'clock. We'd like everybody and anybody to come out there and give us some support for this dog.
What's the name of the dog again?
His name is Spike.
Spike, the canine American, needs your help today. Don't let him put him down on 7th Avenue and gas his ass away. Fuck yeah, man. This is serious news. You love a dog. Dogs are devoted. All of a sudden, they put him in this little chamber and they go away, man. So give a
Man's
call.
Man's best friend.
That's right. Devoted dog.
Death row.
Thank you.
Thank you. Spot. And so this is the end of the Audio Cranium Show, and it was really nice hearing from you. If John's out there and he's listening, I hope we're coming across here. It was really a grand time being with you people, man.
You know, towards the end, I got a lot of calls and stuff.
But there for a while, I was lonely, and I hate getting up early in the morning and have to play rock and roll and no one's listening to shit. You know, and we'll see you next week. And thanks again. Once again, the most incredibly, where does this guy get his energy? He does it, man. He's one of the... This Huff guy, he just comes, gets out there and is and this guy's educated, man. I can tell he no fool. That's right. He's got it. That's Robert Norris. He's right here. And I thank you very much for you listening to me.
Cool.
Well, yes. So that wasn't quite correct. This is your favorite star, Uncle Robert Norris, A.K.A. Bathrobes Pierre Robert. Oh, dear, dear, dear. I'm going to put on some little intro music to lead us into a special edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides, which is actually a substitute for John Stewart's show. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about Sleep Out at City Hall.
Four are Delta numbers, numerous.
As soon as we get our tapes together, that is. It's going to happen, folks. It is going to happen, believe me.
More are Delta numbers, numerous.
He's part of my beat. Whenever I see him, I call him
Shiner.
I don't put the heat on or drive him away, but Busher and I, very gently to play. As I went over the precinct, Pusher, he's got business right on down the line. He's got a job to do there, and I got mine. Oh, I don't see a thing, and I wish him good day. Who can make ends meet? Oh, just got pay. Lieutenant in 4B says,
we should get together more often.
Yes.
Says the lady down below in 3C.
And not wait for emergency. That's right.
Says the woman in 5A.
We used to have meetings all the time.
Yeah.
Says the husband in 2D.
Like against raising the rent.
And not having the garbage collected often enough.
His wife chimes in.
And
says 4C.
And the lady radio department.
Says the old timer in 1G.
Remember how bad that got left, didn't it?
Says 2H.
But now it's so crowded and everybody's so busy all the time.
Says 3J.
That all we ever get together for is after the murder in the self-service elevator.
There was a little man and he had a little gun. Had a little gun. Had a little gun. There was a little man and he had a little gun. And his bullets were made. The middle of the head. It's so easy to get a gun. Get a gun. Get a gun. It's so easy to get a gun and shoot anyone.
My heart.
duty gun. I killed no
Who Killed Nobody, from Inner City, a musical about city life from 1971, republished as Street Dreams in 1982. Great musical. Nobody ever heard it. Nobody ever hears of it. But you get to hear it here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And, of course, our call-in number, and we're going to be talking, and I hope I'm talking to you, is 427-3772. Our subject, the Sleepout at City Hall. Now going into its sixth day. It's been there Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Actually, I guess it's the fifth night, Wednesday night. Anyway, it's getting on, and it's been successful in beating back police resistance, police misconduct, misconduct that continues. A man today was seized as he left the police, as he left the City Hall area, about 8 o'clock last night. He was picked up with his dog. His dog was put in the pound, and he was held for 4 or 5 hours and released at 3 o'clock in the morning. A man named Michael, one of the original River Street refugees, who has since left the refugees and is camped up at Davenport, came down to give some support to the people at City Hall. He had been drinking, and he was not polite with the police officer. So we will grant the police that. But the fact of the matter is, given the report that Lieutenant Habey and Sergeant Vogel beat a man and a woman across the street 2 or 3 nights ago, I guess it was yesterday. It was Tuesday. Was it Tuesday morning or Monday morning? I believe it was Monday morning, because I was on the air about it. My normal show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsize, is Mondays and Fridays from 10 to noon, in case you want to tune into that. I'm taking spots, compliments to my talk show host. What do you call yourself on the air?
Oh, Audio Cream.
Audio Cream?
Cranium.
Audio Cranium, yes. We call him the Creaming Cranium, actually, but that's another story. In any case, he's a man of, well, you heard him for the last half hour. He had the grace to let me on the air, even though I badgered him mercilessly on the phone before this.
Are we on the air? Who the fuck are you?
And we had quite a conversation. Anyway, the Sleepout at City Hall is our subject matter here, and that's what we're talking about. I'm going to be playing lots of tapes from City Hall. I'm hoping that some of the River Street refugees will come in. We actually have some of the people from the Coral Street Open Air Shelter near the radio station by happenstance. I'm going to try to talk them into coming on the air. I'm particularly concerned about this mendacious, selective article in today's Sentinel, which actually made the front page. It has some interesting information and lots of misinformation, as well as a picture of Jimmy Riley holding up End the Camping Ban Now, Please Honk, a sign that has in fact garnered many honks in front of City Hall, honks from honkies and non-honkies alike. The story I'm going to read to you, even though you can probably get it by investing 50 cents in one of these paper-thin Santa Cruz Sydney...
21 cents at Walgreens.
21 cents at Walgreens? Are you kidding?
Oh, my God, every day you get there early for the all-north.
Amazing. Well, that's interesting. I would suggest that, or else take a whole bunch out of the rack and pass them around. I suppose that's counseling theft. Well, Scott Kennedy can take me up on that one. I find the Sentinel is usually not worth reading, but I read it anyway because it's part of my job. Karen Clark writes the following article, Santa Cruz unable to find site for the homeless. Santa Cruz, a city council committee established to find an outdoor site for homeless campers when the winter quarters closed next week has struck out. Well, that's interesting. Karen Clark finally got wind of this. We knew they struck out in October. That's why we began banding together as Save Our Shelter in order to make sure that the city council and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, in their usual collusion number, did not close down the open-air shelter. Now, they did anyway, but we got it kept open a month, through November into mid-December, through Camper Solidarity out there at Coral Street. But Karen Clark is just picking up her, you know, her hearing aid to find out what's going on. Okay, Karen, what else you got to tell us? Our concern is that they'll be out with no place to go, said Councilwoman Catherine Byers. We've just struck zero. Well, you know, I've got a lot of... I'm really impatient with Catherine Byers. I call her Birdseed Byers. She's one of the most well-intentioned of all the council members, but she knew this 4 or 5 months ago. And she knew they were going through the motions, walking through the campgrounds, walking here, walking there, walking everywhere, when the only real place for people to be, which was Coral Street at the time, was being seized and monopolized by Citizens Committee for the Homeless's trailer project, in spite of the fact that property is meant for homeless use. It was purchased by the city in 1987 for homeless use, sold to the Citizens Committee in 1990 with that proviso. Actually, it's 90 or 91. That's a little unclear from the documents I've seen. In any case, they've held it for that period of time. People have camped on it for a decade. It is right next to emergency shelter and emergency services. It's a wretched piece of property. It's loud, it's noisy, it's grungy. I got a resident here who actually lived there who can tell you what a piece of dumpy joint it was, but nonetheless, people used it because they needed a place to sleep and a place to be during the day to have their tents up, and that's what they were finally able to get come the fall of 1995, and that was last fall. Let me introduce my guest here. This is a have a seat. We're remodeling the place. This is Bob. Bob, what's your last name?
Pennington.
Pennington?
Yes.
Bob is a man who was out there on the streets gathering the 1,100 signatures that he eventually presented to City Council, or were presented to City Council, in November, seeking the continuation of the open-air shelter through the winter. Isn't that right, Bob?
Yeah. We did a lot of different things at it. As far as talking to Catherine Byers at the time, I think it's Mike Rodkin now.
Mike
isn't
Rodkin
it?
Is the mayor. Yeah, Byers was the mayor, and Rodkin is the new Fuhrer, as we call him. Yeah.
Yeah. Rotten Rodkin, I believe.
Rotten Rodkin. That's one way of putting it. Yes.
Yeah. No. We did a lot of different things. It really didn't do a lot of good as far as keeping the shelter open, you know, or the open air shelter, but. They did find, you know, alternative places, but I don't know how those are working out at the moment. There was a guy where I was staying last night who walked up and passed me one of the little fire things for saying we're going to have to start all over again. Mm-hmm. To have some place to go on the 16th.
The open air shelter that died when Daryl Darling and Paul Meursault of the Citizens Committee, backed by Mike Rodkin and Scott Kennedy, killed it in December, but. The Winter Armory Shelter Program, which, of course, is the armory which people can, you know, line up for, what is it, 5 o'clock or so?
4:30.
Wait in line, end your day early, you know, go to the armory, maybe get sick through sharing all the healthy air there with everybody, you know, crash on the floor. Even that place, which people did not really want to go to. When they were given a choice of going there in December or staying in the open-air shelter, my recollection, Bob, is that most of them stayed in the open-air shelter. Isn't that right?
Yeah, most of them did.
A little closer.
A lot of people did. I came home from a day job at the day the place was closing, and I was going to go out with all the other people to the, where was it, New Brighton Beach,
uh-huh.
I think is where everybody was going. I came back and somebody already took my tent. So that left me, yeah, that left me with...
So you were one of the deportees who got completely deported. You didn't. Your tent was deported without you, and the New Brighton Beach caper was Mike Rotkin's little PR stunt with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless to fund for 2 weeks the 47 or 8 campers that were able to get it together and who were there. I mean, and there were many more, I imagine, who needed and wanted shelter through the winter, you being one of them, Bob, who didn't get that opportunity to get to New Brighton Beach. And that lasted only for 2 weeks anyway, whereas, and cost, I think, what? I think it was $1,000 to $1,500 paid for out of city funds. That money would have funded the campground for 3 months, according to calculations by Rolling Thunder Mike Sheridan, who's one of the River Street refugees and was one of the lead people in Save Our Shelter, the campground organization that you were working with, Bob.
Yeah.
Now, you talked to a lot of people on the streets, and you sat in front of a table in front of the Cinema 9 throughout November getting signatures for a petition. Can you tell us something about that, how that went?
Well, it went all right, you know, pretty much. Most people had a pretty good attitude towards keeping it open once I explained to them what it was for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the reasons that the merchants were sympathetic to keeping it open was pointed out by homeless people and by community activists that if it weren't open, people would be coming downtown. They wouldn't have much other choice during the night and during the day. And so, in fact, Citizens Committee made a deal with the campers on November 29th to keep it open until either A, the 10 days after permits were granted for their trailer project, which is now, of course, going up. It's 10 modular trailers for 40 people, replacing a campground for 200 to 300, until 10 days after those permits were granted, and those permits were finally granted on February 27th. So that would mean we're just about reaching the end of the period when the open-air shelter should be open, according to the promises made by the authorized negotiating agents of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, Paul Marceau and Daryl Darling. In fact, of course, those promises were violated. Bob, were you around when those promises were made at the SOS meeting? Were you there?
I don't remember if I was or not.
Okay. Yeah, I know I was, and in fact, I recorded them on tape, and I played them repeatedly on my show, and I tried to play them for the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, the executive board, to show the board how their own orders, their own instructions, their own good name and reputation were being trashed by the men who worked for them, Paul Marceau and Daryl Darling. They were promising one thing to campers, and then they were unilaterally turning around and closing the campground. I should add, there was an additional proviso. If weather conditions made the campground uninhabitable, they agreed not to evict, but to renegotiate. Now, for a day or so, it was pretty rough going after that terrible storm in mid-December. But campers agreed the campground was inhabitable. They had drained the area. They'd gotten a pump. They put their tents on wooden pallets and winterized their tents. So, in fact, there was no need to close the campground, except that it was mighty convenient for the Citizens Committee for the Homeless to get all those people out of there before Christmas, before protesting could be done and organized, before the trailers became an issue in January. So, in essence, they lied to the homeless. And a lie is a lie, but when a lie removes people's place to be at night, when a lie removes people's only shelter, and for many people with dogs, for many people who had to live outside, for many people who wanted to keep their jobs and not end up in the armory, that was an essential place to be. They believed in the word of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and this is the group, the monopoly service provider, that the city council throws money at all the time. They're throwing money at their community house project, the campground killer project, the 10 modular trailers that are going to serve 20 to 40 people in kind of a case-managed semi-jail situation. You won't be able to have visitors privately in your room. There'll be guards, security guards on the premises. There'll be case managers. You'll be drug tested. I mean, there are going to be fences around this place. It's a pretty interesting situation, and the kinds of gyrations the city council is going through with its pals on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless to put this project up. Now some people have pointed out, Bob, that the place is not the most ideal place. I mean, how long were you there?
I was there for almost 10 months.
10 months?
Yeah, and, well, the freeway noise and the train stuff, I realize it bothered a lot of people, but it didn't really bother me because I'm used to noise anyway. So I can sleep through just about anything.
So you would have preferred to have that place throughout the winter?
Yes. And definitely. I'd still have it.
What did you do instead without that shelter?
The first two nights I spent in jail.
In jail?
Well, I didn't have any place else to go.
So how did you end up in jail?
I threw a brick through a window.
Wow. I thought that was sort of a fiction that I've heard, but actually it really happens. You threw a brick through a window to get into jail?
Yeah, down in Johnny's sports shop. Matter of fact, if you look at the two doors that go into his shop off of Pacific, you'll notice only one door has the gold writing on it now.
I see. So you removed the gold writing from Johnny's sports shop. Johnny, don't hurt this guy. He was simply responding to the closing of the open-air shelter. I think you should send the bill to Scott Kennedy, Mike Rodkin, Daryl Darling, and Palmer Sow. And perhaps the Citizens Committee for the Homeless can all chip in to help Johnny's sports shop.
Yeah, it's $881 if you're interested, Johnny.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Or whoever.
So you were jailed for 2 days.
Yeah, I told him I wanted to go to jail. Uh-huh. I told him I didn't have any place else to go. I came home from work again. Everything was gone. I'd been working all day, and all I was wearing was a short sleeve shirt and these pants right here that aren't very thick.
Right.
And I was just simply freezing.
Right. Actually, we had that same problem last night. I was at the sleep out last night. Were you out last night as well, or were you?
No. Just these particular incidents. I was working, mm-hmm. and I wasn't able to get back in time to sign up on the list to go to the armory, mm-hmm. and by the time I got back, the van was already gone anyway.
Well, Palmer so claims you can have a late night pickup for people who are working. What's the story with that?
I never heard anything about that. I've heard that you can come in and take showers and stuff like that, but I've never heard of a late night pickup.
So throughout the winter, have you continued to work, and what's been the situation there?
Yeah, a little about.
And what do you do for shelter at night?
Basically, I've been sleeping at the armory, although I do have a blanket, an insulated twin double bed blanket that I have stashed out there by the shelter. And you know, so I can always roll up in that. That'll keep me warm now.
Of course, that is a criminal offense under 6.36 of the city's municipal code, subsection B's, called laying out bedding. So even if you're not asleep after 11 o'clock at night, you will face a criminal charge if police find you in your bedding and decide to bust you.
Oh, well.
Isn't that nice?
Well, I guess I'm back to my three hots and a cot then.
Let's see. I hear it's not too hot in that jail either. Pretty cold in those holding cells.
Yeah, it's about 50 or 60. I don't know. I had my, they gave me one shirt to wear.
One shirt. They always give you one piece of clothing in these damn jails. We've been getting nasty reports from people arrested at the sleeping band sleep-out vigil.
Oh, yeah?
That the jail is not nice, that people are being treated badly, that property is being taken and not returned. They're being told to go back to the police station in the morning. That's what happened to Red Top Robert Flory when he was arrested, I guess, this weekend. He went back the next morning in response to Officer Brandt's instructions, and he was told that his property would not be returned to him, but rather his rain gear, his personal effects, his bedding, and his backpack were needed as, quote, evidence of the crime of sleeping. Interesting, this policy of seizing homeless property and homeless bedding, which was notorious under Chief Jack Bassett, the previous police chief, and particularly rampant in 1990 at the homeless table at the post office when people were doing an 8.5-month vigil there, was specifically used to punish protesters at that time. We thought the bad old days were over. Well, move over, Bassett. You've got a successor. Chief Belcher is here, and that's, of course, our current police chief, Steve Belcher, who randomly is misinforming people that, for example, it's illegal to lie down during the day. Well, it's not illegal, everybody. You can lie down and sleep during the day. Although, thanks to Scott Kennedy and Mike Rodkin, it is illegal to lie down downtown during the day. That's part of the notorious sit down near a shop, go to jail law, which Mike Rodkin champions, and apparently which he's going to be pushing for sharper sanctions on. He's been talking at least about sharper sanctions around panhandling. That came up at a meeting yesterday, as reported by activist Crossroads Chris Brosda. And I'll be hopefully getting more information on that during my regular show on Friday. And any information anyone else has, what happened to you when the open-air shelter closed? Where did you go this winter? So tell us more about how you're making do with shelter at night, Bob.
Well, right now I'm getting by the best I can. Like I said, I stay at the armory about two-thirds of the time, mm-hmm. I guess. A lot of times Well, I'd rather work than go to bed anyway, anything to put money in my pocket. Mm-hmm. So if they got, you know, if they're not finished working, I'll stay there and finish out the day with them till like 6 or 6:30.
What kind of work do you do?
Anything, really. Matter of fact, I got a job from this girl about a month and a half ago named, can't lose my pills, named Ann, right here. Mm-hmm. That message was from not this Friday, but Friday before last. And what I'll do is I'll go out with her now about twice a month,
mm-hmm.
and cleaning houses for the elderly and disabled and stuff. I think she has a lot more houses than she's letting on, but she doesn't really know me. So I was thinking, you know, maybe she wants to get to know me first before she just starts turning me loose into people's houses.
Obviously a menace. You look like a menace to me.
Oh, God.
if people have work for you, how can they reach you? Have you got a number you can be reached at, a voicemail?
Not really. I had the homeless number somewhere, but I just keep losing the damn thing.
Let me think about that.
Here's some Marlboro Miles if you want it. Is there a number on the back of that? No. There.
No, I think you can always, if you want to leave a message for Bob, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and Bob, maybe you'll call in a day or two in case we have any messages for you. I can let you know. That's 423-HUFF. Pretty easy to remember, and I can write it down for you as well, and will right now. Bob is looking for work, and of course, starting on March 15th, you won't have any armory shelter anymore, will you?
No, that they were talking about if it keeps raining, mm-hmm. and all, that they would keep it open for another, two or three, maybe 4 weeks, something like that, until the rain stops.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only if it keeps raining.
Yeah,
and
I think
really
there is an agreement to keep the armory open on a weather contingent basis until sometime in April, but that is only if the weather drops below 40 or is below 50 and wet, as I understand it. So, in fact, you are likely, if we have some nice weather, as we did at the beginning of the sleep out on Friday, to be looking for that blanket that you're keeping stashed. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I had a sleeping bag to go with it, and I lent that to somebody, and I never saw him or the sleeping bag again, so all I got's a blanket now.
Well, what's the situation? How do people at the Armory feel about this impending closure? Is there some anxiety about that, or are people kind of hopeful that the city council will step in heroic fashion, or the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which has literally gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars in fundraising for homeless projects, that it will shoulder the responsibility? I mean, what do people at the Armory think? Or is there going to be a solution?
Actually, there isn't any reaction to it right now. Nobody said anything about it until last night when that guy came up to me and handed me the flyer, and I told him I already knew about it and that I knew everybody related to it.
Right.
But other than that, nobody said a word about it yet.
So it's still kind of not really being discussed or confronted at the moment, huh?
Probably not confronted.
I mean, because I imagine most people don't have shelter after March 15th that they are making personally, do they?
No, I don't think most of the people up there do have shelter, except for the staff members and all that work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're at the citizens community.
Right, they're the cronies, and the employees, of course, always get the choice tidbits, whether it be of the food or of the shelter or whatever. The rest of the people, you know, get to go begging or throw bricks through windows to go to jail for shelter, or keep their bedding hidden so they can maybe pick it up later and use it when they need to. Is there something more you want to say about maybe any messages for anybody out there? I know Ankle Deep Ann Curry occasionally listens to this show, though I doubt she would know that we're talking today. She's the homeless activist with Save Our Shelter. I know Dan Hopkins down at, have you been by City Hall to the sleep out?
No, I just heard about that last night.
You might go down and say hi to Dan. He's there along with a couple of other people, mostly not from the shelter, because they're mostly new people, and then some much older activists who've been fighting this issue for years. But you know where City Hall is?
Yeah.
Yeah. City Hall, I encourage people to go down there. They need food. They need blankets. They need signs. They need people to kind of help organize a phone tree. They need people to go up to campus to put up literature. They need people to come and just talk and sort of spread the word that not all homeless people are taking this quietly. That not all homeless people, feel that everything is hunky-dory with city council and what's going on. In fact, I think most people are supremely anxious and rather upset, given the recent story that I was reading to you earlier. Actually, when you came in, Bobby, it's, again, the story by Karen Clark. And I guess I can continue to read it. And you're welcome to stay in the studio. I want to kind of press on with this, but do you want to say anything more?
No, I tell you, you already gave the message out about the dog.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, the message about the dog may be out of date. I was telling you, of course, you listeners may remember that Spike, the dog, from the River Street Refugees, was currently being held hostage by the SPCA, who wanted 64-odd bucks before they were going to release the dog, and they wouldn't release the dog to a homeless group because there wasn't an adequate address. Well, after some negotiating, I was able to find a man who agreed to pay the money, which had been organized, rounded up by the River Street Refugees. Money had actually been gathered, and get the dog out of the bondage, so to speak, out of jail, get that pup out of jail today. So that crisis may be alleviated, but I don't want to confirm that until I actually hear that it's true, nor do I want to put out another appeal for him until I know what's going on. So yeah. That's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, the only reason I ask is because Mike and his friend saw me walking down the sidewalk this morning when I was on my way up here, and they stopped in the van.
Oh, they gave me the thing, this message.
Yeah, and gave me this message about 10 o'clock this morning.
Well, maybe I should read it since you got it. Okay, this is the story. According.
But anyway. Yeah.
Well, let me read that message then, since it was, I talked to them yesterday. You've talked to them more recently. Here's the message from the River Street Refugees. They say, call the SPCA at 7th Avenue at 475-6454 for Spike, a 13-month-old chocolate Labrador. Why can't you give the dog to caring homeless people? I know Spike. I know of his gentle nature. And again, this is an urging from the River Street Refugees to indeed give a call to the SPCA, the 7th Avenue SPCA, at 475-6454. That's 475-6454. Ask for Spike, and don't leave the line until you hear his reassuring bark. Actually, I've never met Spike, or if I have, I've gotten him confused with all the other dogs out there. But hey, just like, I guess, for Rotkin, all the homeless people look alike, and to me, all the dogs look alike, and maybe we're both all confused. Anyway, Bobby, anything more you want to add to this?
No, go ahead.
Right.
I'm not much of a conversationalist.
You've done great. As a matter of fact, I think your conversational skills have improved, and your ability to condense information into a short period of time has really increased, too. I remember a couple of interviews with you that we had early on when you were fumbling around this fall. You've gotten much better. That's my impression. So watch out. I may have to dragoon you as alternate talk show host at some point.
All right.
So that was Bobby of the River Street Refugees. He's looking for work. He does house cleaning. He's, of course, going to be out of shelter on March 15th, or maybe a little later if the rains continue, at the Armory. He can be reached, if you want to leave him a job offer, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and you have to give a day or two leeway at least, because he doesn't have a voicemail. You might call in your voicemail if you can find that at some point.
Yeah. I'd just like to say, not only do I do house cleaning, I do labor. My dad owned a construction business. He used to work for the government, remodeling or renovating whatever the American embassies all around the world, so I can do the construction work. By trade, I'm a diesel mechanic. I do all the chassis work, all the rear end, front end, tire work, brakes, airlines, hydraulics, all that stuff, and I can shoot too, or work a spray gun.
Shoot a spray gun.
Yeah.
Can you fix headlights?
Yeah.
Good. You can. I got some headlights.
I
got
them out just as quick as anything else.
I got a job for you. Just don't knock out my headlights. But if you're around after this, we'll talk some more. And I'll. You're gonna be around out front.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, I'll be out around noon. And I got a headlight that doesn't work. It was a fender bender yesterday. So let's talk more about that.
All right.
But do call in to 423-HUFF if you got work for Bobby. Call into 423-HUFF if you want to support the sleep out at City Hall, and get your butts down to that sleep out, just if only for a little while, with some hot coffee for the vigilers, with some cocoa, with some sandwiches. It is being supported by Sean of Feed the People in his informal capacity, and Food Not Bombs will be feeding there today. So that is true. That'll be feeding, I guess, at 4 o'clock today at 809 Center, which is right across from the main library in the Civic Auditorium at the City Hall area. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Normally this is John's show, but John has been called away. He's actually sick. I, too, am sick, but in my demand to get everything out and monopolize everybody's time, I've taken over the show, And I want you to call in at 427-3772. In fact, I'm hoping and expecting a call from beggar-backer Becky Johnson. Beggar-backer Becky, if you are within range of my voice, move yourself over to the telephone, make those push-button or dial motions, depending on how old your phone is, and get through to 427-3772, because you have been doing a lot of videoing of, for example, a couple that was claims to have been beat up by Officer Lieutenant Habey, struck with a baton and struck with a flashlight. And also, of course, there's the case of this fellow, I guess you haven't interviewed him yet, who had his dog taken today, and that's another dog. That's a dog, he was walking near the demonstration, I mentioned that. We do have a phone call.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, okay, I'm here.
It's Beggar Backer Becky.
Yeah.
Well, Becky, this is quite an honor considering you're sick and...
And you're sick, too.
We're
I'm
all
sure
sick,
that there are many of your critics who would...
it's pretty bad.
Gleefully agree with your sickness.
Well, you know, it's a sickening situation, you've got to admit.
There are some really disturbing aspects, many of which were mentioned this morning in the Sentinel. I mean, if you've... I'm a great between the lines reader,
mm-hmm.
which I think you need to develop the skill very keenly if you're much of a Sentinel reader.
You know what I'd like to do? I began reading that article. Have you been listening to the show?
I'm sorry to say I missed the beginning of it.
Well, so. let me read that article aloud and then have you comment on it for our audience.
Oh, I think that they would enjoy that immensely.
Well, who knows? Some people are just gluttons for punishment. Anyway, the article is on the front page of today's Santa Cruz Sentinel, and the headline is Santa Cruz Unable to Find Site for Homeless by Karen Clark. And there's a picture of Jimmy Riley.
Okay, stop.
Yes.
Unable to find site. We have delivered, oh God, at least six or more possible sites, and they go, and the city council says, no, that's not acceptable. We can't do it there. They're throwing one roadblock after another in front of every site. So the fact that they can't find a site...
means that they aren't too interested in finding a site.
Has to do with that their level of criteria, their criteria is way too high.
So
they need to lower their standards a bit.
Now, let me ask you, although I, of course, have been present at many of these so-called site searches, they have had a site search committee doing its weekly pro forma meeting, or not weekly, monthly pro forma meeting called the Open Air Shelter Subcommittee. I think it met again on Monday, although they didn't announce the meeting, and some of us who wanted to come only learned about it later, which is rather annoying to those of us. It's interesting that the homeless movement seems to have divided a bit. There are two women, Sherry Connable and Barbara Riverwoman, who are schmoozing big time with city council, who show up at those meetings but don't tell the rest of us that they're happening. So, but anyway, yeah, what sites would you say have been proposed to city council, are viable, and the city council has rejected?
Well, I know that there was, first we have the Poganip, which has very large tracts of land, and Sherry Connable had identified a particular tract of land on Golf Club Drive, and it's adjacent to Bob's Pine Grove Campground,
mm-hmm.
which is an existing campground.
It's a pay campground. It costs, what, $15 or $20 a site or something? Or?
I'm not aware of the cost, but it is a private campground.
That's Bob's, not Bobby's campground, I'd like to note. Bobby is still in the studio.
And Bobby's campground is probably more designated by him at the moment,
mm-hmm.
wherever he's camping.
Right, in the armory at the moment, but who knows where tomorrow.
Yeah.
On the 15th, anyway.
Right. So there was that site. Then there was another, I heard about, they were talking about some property up in De La Viega.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went up there and
uh-huh.
scouted that out with Dragon's Heart Daniel Hopkins, who's a...
Then there's Arana Gulch.
And where is that?
That's near the Yacht Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a large tract of land in there.
What about the Homeless Garden Project property up near Lighthouse Field?
Yeah, I've heard that mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
On the... West Cliff Drive, not the site that I heard was some of the property where they're growing further down near Natural Bridges,
mm-hmm.
and not the site that's on Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
There was some investigation of that site, and then the top choice is the Sycamore Grove, which is also in the Poganip. It's between Highway 9 and the San Lorenzo River. And there are lots of reasons why that's the ideal site. It's a walking distance from existing homeless services. It's on public land. And on some of the old maps of the Poganip, it was grandfathered. It's marked on those maps as a campground. Mm-hmm. So there's the possibility that we could use the some sort of grandfather clause and have it be a campground yet again without really changing their precious camping ban rule.
Mm-hmm. Now, actually, there are two more sites I would propose, although I don't know how suitable they are. One was not mentioned at all in the site search subcommittee hearings that I was in, and I was in many of them, which is meetings between city council members Byers, Scott, sometimes Kennedy, Judy Schwartz of the county, Sherry Connable, a couple of campers every so often. The site that wasn't mentioned showed up in the Santa Cruz Sentinel a couple days ago. The question was asked, where can they put the homeless people, as they like to phrase it.
Uh-huh.
And everybody suggested University Cal. Some major disaster, I'm sure the university would immediately offer its property to deal with the crisis, and I think the city could use eminent domain to seize some of it. I mean, I don't know.
The University of California, Santa Cruz is the largest physical campus in the UC system.
Really?
More land, and they have vast UC extension land, mm-hmm. too, which is property of the university, but it's not really used by the university. It's just kind of held in trust.
Mm-hmm.
By the university, and those are their university extension lands scattered all over the county.
Mm-hmm.
So land is, there's lots of potential sites.
Well, I'd like to also mention the last site, which you should be something of an expert on, because you are on the board of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which owns that property which has been designated for homeless use for a decade and at least two different property transfer agreements. Property that was promised to the homeless for use this winter by your own Citizens Committee for the Homeless on November 29th by Paul Merceau and Daryl Darling. Property which was ripped out from under the feet of the homeless. Bob himself lost all his property and actually was driven, did you hear the earlier part of the show? He was driven to throwing a brick through a window in order to go to jail for two nights after the open-air shelter closed. I never knew that.
That's incredible.
It's amazing. I mean, here's a man who you should interview, Becky. He was at the center of the SOS organizing effort last fall. He circulated petitions day after day, hour after hour, on the streets in front of the Cinema 9 Theater. He went to City Council as well, Bob. Yeah. And I think I'll encourage
him.
I'd like
people to come out and take a stand.
But I mean, the point is that what about this property that you're on the board of directors?
Yes.
Are you not? I mean, at least last I heard, you're on.
Still under the impression that I'm a member of CCH.
So what about that now? The property is supposedly being used for community house. How is community house going? Have you gone out there and snooped around, see what's happening with that property lately?
I have not snooped in the recent past.
How about you, Bob? Have you seen what's happening
with
community
house? The latest news I have is that
are there trailers on the property yet out there?
Half of them had been moved into the county to the storage site. And the other half were slated to be moved, I believe, last weekend.
You mean you heard that there? Bob is.
That's the latest that I personally.
Bob, you were
heard
out there last night. Or?
Yeah, I just walked out.
And there were no trailers on the property.
No, they got the stakes. They got all the stakes cut up.
And all that for the leveling purposes of the land. They're planting grass in there, and in some spots they're starting to grow grass and stuff like that now. But they have yet to bring the trailers in. I was thinking it would probably be at least April from the way the land looks.
So Becky, I think it may be appropriate for you at the next board meeting to move that land in the interim be used for a homeless campground, perhaps run by the Homeless Community Resource Center of Karen Gillette. After all, if the Citizens Committee is unwilling to run the property, they certainly shouldn't exclude other people from using it. They haven't even gotten this damn trailer project funded yet, have they?
I don't think so, no. I don't think it's fully funded. And there are several aspects of this project that are certainly cause for concern.
We've actually investigated that at some detail in past shows, but if you can give us a one-minute summary.
Well, my personal, I have two major reservations. One is it doesn't serve enough people, and the other is that it sounds more like a halfway house from a prison rather than housing and shelter for homeless people.
You're talking about the 10-trailer, 40-person community house project that's costing $1.3 million and will require $617 a month checks from people to get in there, and is going to be...
And that was the lowest figure.
That was the lowest
too.
Figure.
They had a couple different figures that if you figured it with a different formula, it would be higher. That was the lowest. That $617 a month was, you know, at their best figure.
Well, let's continue with this article, because you stopped me at the headline.
Yeah, I did.
And I'm going to have to do that again. I mean, that's fine. I don't mind you stopping me at any point. I want to note that throughout this article, even though they quote Palmer So, who headed the campground and is closely affiliated with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, one of their big employees, at no point did they mention the closing of the open-air shelters, replacement by community house that I remember. They separate those two issues completely in the Sentinel, so you don't get to see the connection. But maybe not. I only read the article a couple times. Let's read through it and see what they say.
Go ahead.
Santa Cruz, a city council committee established to find an outdoor site for homeless campers when the winter shelters close next week, has struck out.
So it is a city council committee, huh?
Well, that's interesting you should say that, because as I remember... Oh, no, actually... no, you're right. Mike Rotkin claimed it was not a city council committee. He interrupted me at the podium when I was making a speech on the subject and gently corrected me with his mild smile. Mild Mike Rotkin, and said, no, Robert, that's not really a subcommittee. It was never officially established. So maybe the Sentinel is wrong and Rotkin is right. In any case, is it a committee or isn't it? Who knows?
Okay, go ahead.
They call themselves a committee. They're more of a cover-up committee, in my opinion. Our concern is that they'll be put out with no place to go, said Councilwoman Catherine Byers. We've just struck zero. The committee met Monday afternoon to discuss a final option, allowing overnight camping in the city's Corporation Yard parking lot at 1125 River Street.
Ooh, that sounds appetizing.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's a site. I've actually seen that place. Boy, what a wretched dump. You think that River Street is bad? I mean, you think that Coral Street is bad? I used to go there in the rain. They would make people wait for hours in the rain for the buses to go to the churches back in 1988, and we would go and talk to people, and they would leave people behind too. Not everybody got to go.
No, so after you wait in the rain for 3 hours, they could leave you behind.
That was back in 1988, and we've got to say that the Citizens Committee, due in no small part to the efforts of homeless activists who've been constantly ranting and raving at them and pressuring City Council and exposing their nonsense, has resulted in the expansion of this ISSP Interfaith Satellite Shelter program. But we didn't mention that site of the Corporation Yard, so I guess there is yet another site.
Yeah, no, I hadn't thought of that one myself.
But apparently, Byers said that idea fell through when the committee learned that some employees at the Corporation Yard start work as early as 4:30 a.m. So this is like they're saying that you can't use the Benchlands, which was another site you may remember. Sherry Connable has brought up on several occasions, which is right next to San Lorenzo River, part of San Lorenzo Park.
Right.
You can't use the Benchlands because it might interfere with dog shows and fairs in the spring.
Dog shows and fairs?
That's correct, yes.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, well, that's certainly a crucial question
right.
here in Santa Cruz, dog shows and fairs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the choice is,
really.
I think it's pretty
important.
What's
the more important, you know? I mean, the health and well-being of human beings that are in a desperate situation, or the ability to have dog shows.
You know, interestingly enough, I'd like to interrupt this reading to point out, I see an ad here in the Sentinel, which really might be a solution to all our problems, and interestingly enough, it's been located right under the back page where homeless campers, the article concludes. It says, snoring, not funny, not hopeless. New laser treatment provides a fast, safe solution to your nocturnal problem. 20-minute in-office procedure now available in Santa Cruz County. Call Patricia A. Murphy, M.D. So maybe what they're really telling us subliminally is that there is a solution to the homeless problem. Stay awake. You know, the insomnia solution. I mean, it really is something we've been proposed. And actually, there were homeless people who were giving insomnia classes back in 1988 to sort of train the recalcitrant, law-breaking homeless and as to how to stay awake at night and stop violating the law.
Well, you might want this laser treatment, you know, because the snoring will give it away and you get busted.
Now, that's true, too. It might be good for if you want to be a surreptitious criminal, you can do it that, too. But let me continue reading this article, and you can continue with your disruptive commentary. But Byers said that that idea fell through the corporation yard when the committee learned that some employees at the corporation yard start work as early as 4:30 a.m.
Oh, another site. Unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
Somebody might be there at 4:30 a.m. Well, too bad for the homeless people.
Oh, well. Yeah, gosh, it's too bad. We've struck out again. That was the lowest point on Monday, said Byers. I just know that next week's going to be difficult for a lot of people. I mean, can you say cluck, 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 cluck? I mean, come on. Catherine, give it a rest. Let's talk reality here. You know, this kind of bemoaning and wringing your hands when you're a member of the city council, instead of naming names and making positive motions like at least moving to end the sleeping ban, which Byers has refused to do for years, we hear nothing from her on that.
Speaking of the sleeping ban, I spoke to Barbara Riverwoman.
Uh-huh. Barbara Riverwoman is an activist, of course, who was with Save Our Shelters.
Okay, let me... I spoke to her about her position on the sleeping ban.
Right.
And I told her that I'm currently supporting a moratorium on the sleeping ban until a campground is opened.
Right.
And she said she could support that position.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, she had said earlier she did not support ending the sleeping ban.
Right. I know she had her
because she had reservations. She was afraid that everybody would come to Santa Cruz, and how can the city council vote for that, and how could you vote for that if you were on the city council? But I would like to commend her for supporting at least a moratorium. I think the sleep out people are calling for ending the sleeping ban, not just a moratorium. But
yeah, well, it's like give them a little bite, you know. I personally would like to see the camping ban ended completely.
Well, it's ended supposedly in San Francisco.
But as an interim step, a moratorium would be a lesser step in that direction.
That's true. And also an amnesty for past camping tickets, because we're getting lots of them. People are coming to me every day with more camping tickets.
Yes, an amnesty for camping tickets from the date that the campground closed.
I think so, at least.
Would be a very reasonable request.
I think that would be reasonable, but since the campground does not cover in any way the homeless population in this community, I would say an amnesty, period. So, I mean, that's my position. That's what they're trying to do in San Francisco under the Matrix arrests. We can do no less down here. That's my view. They're looking for both an amnesty. They've actually declared they're near an amnesty up there, and they've already declared a moratorium. So I think if San Francisco can do it, so can Santa Cruz. San Francisco has a much bigger homeless problem. And it's a much more urbanized area. Certainly Santa Cruz can do the same. But let me continue reading this story, even though I sense I may have left you behind in my rampant radicalism here. As many as 120 people a night sleep at the Santa Cruz Armory, but that facility is only open during the winter months and is expected to close on March 14th. The Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program accommodates another 56 people in churches throughout the area, but that program runs full bore only through April 30th. Any comments so far?
Well, just the numbers, obviously those numbers don't add up to the number of homeless people.
Which I estimated 500 to 1,500 people in the city alone and 3,000 to 5,000 in the county.
Yeah, these programs are only accommodating a small portion of the homeless population.
And the main point is not that they don't accommodate everybody, but that those who aren't accommodated are made criminals after 11 o'clock at night if they're caught sleeping. Or perhaps they get the pleasure of getting beaten up or their dogs taken into custody. You know, let's see what happens next here. Homeless people cannot sleep outdoors even in good weather because the city of Santa Cruz enforces an overnight camping ban. The city council did allow a homeless campground to be established on Coral Street near Highway 1, but widespread problems forced its closure in December amid complaints from campers of drugs and violence.
Stop.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Here's a man. Bobby, did you complain about drugs and violence at this campground? Is that the reason it's closed, in your opinion?
Well, okay, widespread...
Wait a minute. Let's see what Bobby says here.
Go ahead.
No, I did not complain about drugs and violence at the campground. The only problem we really had was everybody going out to the railroad tracks and getting smashed. But,
You don't mean smashed by the cars. You mean
drinking
dope
alcohol?
Drunk. Yeah, that's
now you mean everybody or a certain number of people?
About two-thirds, three-quarters.
Really?
Well, yeah, most of them are old drunks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Only the younger people like ourselves, you know, We're the only ones that, well, I guess some of them smoke pot, but most of them are alcoholics. And they go out and they get, you know, a gallon of vodka, whatever, you know, between four or five people, and they just sit out there and get smashed.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, of course, and you say this happened nightly to two-thirds of the population out there, or is that when I was around, I didn't see many people who were drunk at the campground.
Well, I don't mean two-thirds at the whole time. I mean all together, you know, because not everybody has money every day, and everybody would throw their own little private parties. That's why you'd see four and five people staggering in, and that would be about it for that night. Then the next night, it'd be four or five other people.
But would you say that that this was created by the campground situation, or was the campground rather creating... Well, let me ask you that first of all. Did the campground create this situation, or would it have happened independently of the campground, or was it encouraged by the campground's being there?
No, I don't feel the campground had anything to do with it. What those people are doing, you know, that's their choice.
And do you feel that the campground provided an opportunity for those who worked to be able to go out and work, and a safe shelter for those just passing through town, more so than, let's say, existed after the campground closed?
Yeah. Well, when the campground was open, yeah, that was a perfect place.
Were campers complaining of drugs and violence at the campground that you were aware of? I mean, I know there were complaints about mismanagement by the CCH staff, about overflowing porta-potties and favoritism by the staff and unfair discipline. And I guess there were some incidents of drunkenness and so forth, but what was your sense of the magnitude of that problem?
It was about half as bad as everybody says.
Well, he said four or five people came staggering and drunk every night, and the population at the campground was somewhere between 175 and 200. I think he's explained what percentage really that he noticed had a major problem with alcohol, at least.
Is that accurate, Bob?
Yeah, that's about right.
Well, okay, so we have a man who spent the last 10 months at the campground, during that last 10 months of the campground, giving his testimony, and now let's hear what the testimony of the campground managers is, because that's the next paragraph in this story by Karen Clark in the Santa Cruz Sentinel.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
Back up. You said, but widespread problems forced its closure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of those widespread problems were due to my own committee, CCH's, lack of knowing what they were doing with managing this. That was, and many widespread problems. People who are homeless have problems. They've had four or seven bad breaks in a row that have resulted in them being homeless. And those problems certainly haven't gone away with the closure of the campground. And then it says, forced its closure in December amid complaints from campers of drugs and violence. I've heard many of the campers complain that when they're out sleeping under a bridge or in a doorway or something, that they're at greater risk for violence from, say, troll busters or...
Or Lieutenant Habey, perhaps?
or errant police officers.
Again, that's only an accusation. I don't wish to say that that's been proven, but that was the accusation of two people that you videoed 2 days ago, correct?
That's correct.
They were beaten with flashlights and batons by Lieutenant Habey and Sergeant Vogel,
uh-huh.
Right across from
you
the...
You know, it's one of those things. It may never make it to the papers. I got the sense from this couple that they did not have any confidence in the police review board, and I question whether they will follow through and file a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
But my sense of it is that something did happen to them, and it's, you know, it's not right. It's the police.
What are their names again?
The couple?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I should say, although they did tell us, and it is on the video.
Right, I'm just wondering if the homeless community needs to know to talk to those people and to give them support. Maybe they do know already. Maybe that's not necessary at the moment. If anybody needs that information...
Yeah, I think I will hold back at this point.
I have that information, too, but I don't have it with me. But if you want to discuss any abuses that have happened to you by the police because of your homeless status, or you want to discuss this case, give me a call off air at 423-4833-423-HUFF. Continuing the story, however, by Karen Clark in today's Sentinel, Do you have more you wanted to say, Becky, before I do?
Well, I'm just saying the campers weren't complaining that there was so much drugs and violence that they wanted the campground closed. That's the impression the article leads, that the campers were, because they were complaining about conditions, that they were asking for the campground to be closed. That's far from the case.
They wanted CCH to remedy problems that CCH had itself created. You know, that CCH was unwilling to add additional toilets. CCH had promised assistance in winterizing tents that they never came through with. CCH had a backlog of disciplinary problems with their own staff they weren't dealing with. A person had been kicked out named Mushroomic for 2 weeks for trying to stop fights, but he wasn't liked by certain staff members, so he was evicted. The whole ISSP program, as we have seen in the case of Gina, has no appeal process. So Paul Marceau is busy on vacation or whooping it up back east or something.
I also think the drug issue.
There's no appeal process. If he makes a decision or his substitute makes a decision, there's no way it can be changed except through going to Paul Marceau himself, who is, you know, apparently leaving the program as well. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You should be.
I am. I apologize in advance.
Right. I also think that the drug issue has been overblown. There are people who in the homeless population who use drugs, and there are people in the homed population that use drugs, and homeless people have been unfairly singled out and blamed for use of drugs. I just think it's a false issue.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Yes, Paul Marceau. I think you may have heard that name before.
Yes.
Call him Pardonnez-moi, Paul. Meaning, pardon me. Paul Marceau, director of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, which owns the Coral Street site, said another campground would not be allowed there. Do we have any idea why, Becky?
They would not be allowed there because that is the site that the CCH is planning on putting Community House. So.
Community House is the kind of friendly fascist name for 10 trailers that will serve 20 to 40 people in jail-like conditions, right?
It would not be possible to use the site for both projects at the same time.
Nor are they allowing, as a possibility, to be used in the interim, which was specifically brought up by Bob Campbell, a service provider, a former service provider, back at your December meeting. And I guess I'm suggesting...
But if they did that, Robert, then they'd have the problem with clearing out all the homeless people again.
Well, they could just get Mayor Mike Rutkin
it's
to come down and threaten to arrest everybody and shoot their dogs. I mean, that would be the way to do it.
They went through all that, you know, to sweep all the homeless people out of there once.
They just keep clustering again, no matter what you do.
Why
they
do
keep
that
showing
work
up,
twice,
man.
You know?
Yeah, it's true. If you've gotten rid of them once, keep them out with a big high fence and lots of signs. I guess that's what they're doing now.
Yeah, the big high fence. I was wondering, which way does the barbed wire point?
Don't ask. Paul Marceau has been working with the council committee to find an alternate site. What he needs is alternate vision, and I'm afraid Paul, if he has alternate vision, hasn't shown it in this last year. We've been making the mistake of looking for a single site, said Marceau. Hey, look, if you can't find one site, how the hell can you find five? I mean, let's get it together, Paul. He said the answer might include an indoor shelter during non-winter months, camping vouchers in established parks, and a small outdoor shelter.
Oh, this camping vouchers in established parks. Wonder where that idea came from.
Can you tell us?
Well, maybe it came from the River Street refugees themselves, who have developed a model in the existing parks, and there are at least five of them in Santa Cruz County, and where the campers are kind of pooling their money, and they're paying for their campsite with eight adults per campsite, and if one of those eight people is handicapped, then they qualify for having a half fee for that site, which makes it much more affordable. And they're able to feed people one meal a day and have a legal place for them to sleep at the minimal cost of $40 per person a month.
Mm-hmm.
This is an extremely low number.
Mm-hmm.
And
somewhat less than
can't say it's pie in the sky because they're doing it.
So it's somewhat less than the $1.3 million required to set up the Community House project, right?
Yeah, in fact, we figured that out. The ratio is 1 to 31. For every dollar that an operation like the River Street Refugees spends, it would cost Community House $31 to provide those exact same services.
But at least you would have the City Council and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless on your side if you did that.
Actually, there would be advantages to the camping model because the persons involved wouldn't have to adhere to a curfew. They could have guests as they wished.
But then they'd only breed and cause trouble.
And they might even have sex in those tents.
Exactly. I think that we have to keep things under control. Let me continue reading this. He said the answer, I mentioned his answer, why should we be looking for a single answer for 100 different people, Marceau said. I love it. This is the man who kicked everybody out, violating his promise to keep the campground open throughout the winter or to renegotiate. And here he is, sounding like the big pal to the homeless. It's enough to make you want to lose your breakfast. What do you think, Becky?
Well, he did state at the meeting that he and Mike Rodkin together made the decision to close the campground.
Working on behalf of the homeless, no doubt.
And it does put the CCH in the uncomfortable position of having evicted the homeless.
Even if the committee had come up with a viable city-owned site for a homeless campground, I would not have ensured one would be established. Other parts of the equation include funding a social service provider to manage such a campground, or finding one, that is, and then funding it. This, of course, is what we've been constantly told again and again. Those clicks sound like you have an incoming call, Becky.
I do.
You want to get back to me?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And that was Becky Johnson. You're on the air with Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, the Wednesday edition. We've stolen time, or actually we've agreed to slip into a time slot here that isn't usually our own, but we'll be back on Friday to continue this show when it ends in about 15 minutes. In the studio is Bobby, what's your last
name? Pennington.
Bobby Pennington. Thanks, Bobby. And on the line was Becky Johnson, a board of directors member of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and a fearless critic of the Citizens Committee. Both of us were analyzing an article in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, today's Sentinel, on the mock search for a campground. It's 96.3 FM. You're tuned to 427-3772 is the call-in number. And here's a call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Uncle Robert.
Hi there. It sounds like Skidmark's Bob to me.
It could be. But you never know.
Well, you certainly do a good imitation, whoever you are.
Well, I just wanted to inform you and your listeners that we're going to serve food, not bombs, at the City Hall today for
4 o'clock.
Yeah, we're going to move the meal from downtown to City Hall in solidarity with the campers.
All right.
So
So you and Feed the People are vying for the honors here, huh?
Either one.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to feed people and show solidarity. If you could put a PSA in there for other DJs to read. And
I'll mention about Food Not Bombs, you mean?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to do that. I'm glad you reminded me. I'm also going to try to put something up for the campground. I put one up and it's disappeared, so as usual.
Oh, and I got some other news.
Good, go for it.
There were 4 Wobblies arrested night before last for breaking and entering an empty building with Homes Not Jails.
Where was this?
In San Francisco.
Not the notorious Peter J.
I don't think he's in there. I think it was some other people. It was 3 men and a woman who busted into this house, and the cops grabbed them, arrested them, and then charged them actually with burglary and breaking and entering.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what there was to burgle because it was an empty house, but they're holding them for 72 hours, so they should be out, tomorrow, I think. So they're holding them. It's pretty serious, I guess.
Is that from San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco. This happened the other night at the tail end of the Wobbly Gathering.
Hmm, okay.
And plus, you heard about the march on police violence.
I did. In fact, I have an interview with Keith McHenry I was going to play later in the show.
Oh, cool.
Although my time is running out, so I don't know.
Yeah, so it looks like people are resisting everywhere, even in our own little town of Santa Cruz.
Indeed.
So come on out, Food Not Bombs, 4 p.m., City Hall.
And do it. I will probably be there one way or another.
Okay.
And in spirit, if not in belly.
All
right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Cop Watch Bob, who I call Cop Watch Bob because of his early affiliation with that organization. He could always be found running around the streets with a video camera taking pictures of police misconduct. More recently, of course, he's organized his own band and has been banding it up. And you can hear him on this band, 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, on his own show, whenever the hell that is, if anybody would ever get a schedule out here so I could see it. It's on the back door here, but I can't find it. I'm going to finish this story in the Sentinel. Maybe Becky Johnson will call in to conclude, although we don't have much time left, and I'm going to play a little bit from San Francisco as an update on what's going on up there, although not too much is actually happening. We're reading a story by Karen Clark in today's Santa Cruz Sentinel. The topic is the open-air shelter, the lack of open-air shelter, the lack of campgrounds, the failure of City Council to find anything, and the ongoing crisis in the homeless situation. Created, I might add, and though the article doesn't say this, by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and the City Council with their sleeping ban and closure of the open-air shelter. The city would not run such a program, not in this lifetime. And this Mike Rotkin talking about the campground, adding the city could not guarantee full funding. And we're going to interrupt this with a phone call.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Yeah, Robert, this is Al.
Hi, Al, what's up?
Well, the first thing I want to see is I think that Farsi needs another phone line.
That's for sure. We do need a better phone line.
Listen, I called. It's very important to me about the man's dog and got arrested last night.
Yes.
Do you remember his name? I forgot it again.
His name is Michael.
It's Michael. Okay. See, I think I was the last one talking to him.
Right.
At the demonstration, and
you should call Barbara Riverwoman. I think she spoke to him after that.
Okay, but you know, because we were going, I was trying to deal with him on a conflict resolution thing because he was having problems with the group.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he was feeling like really bad, but what I understand, see, what we talked about is him and his dog. They are extremely close, and it's extremely important that he gets his dog back as soon as possible. Now, I called the animal shelter.
Right.
Right, and, well, you know, they answered the phone, but they wouldn't give me any information at all until they formally open up at 12.
Oh, I see.
So, and also, yesterday too, I met the I met a man who had volunteered to help out with the animals of homeless people. So if he's out there, you know,
mm-hmm.
he should check in and
why don't you give your phone number? You're calling from City Hall, Al, or
no,
you're not.
No,
do you have a phone number you can be reached at?
Yes.
What
is
that?
It's 423-423-7260. Right.
And that is, that's Al.
That's,
and you're investigating the case of Michael's dog that was stolen by police last night.
Yeah, we got to get the dog out no matter what. You
okay.
know, as soon as possible. Right? So, and if anybody else is dealing with this, I mean, it's extremely important that that guy gets his dog back.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
I do.
Because, you know, it's a very personal matter, like extremely.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So, I'm going to call the animal shelter back and you know, when they open up in a while, so, you know. Also,
okay.
you know, going back to it, you know, if this is going to go on and on and on, you know, with, you know, I think what we need to do is, you know, we need to occupy
mm-hmm.
university property. That's the only thing that really makes any sense,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, it would be ideal because there is, like, bus service into town, okay, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Universities should be open to that kind of situation. You know, they got plenty of land up there. It's not a problem with land at all. You know? So,
mm-hmm.
hey, you know, that's what I think.
I agree.
In a while. See what happens.
I also think it should be moved downtown during the day to
yes.
really confront the merchants directly. Otherwise, people will be, you know, getting occasional friendly honks, and they are getting regular friendly honks from passing cars. But the city council is ignoring them. So.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm talking like a lot of people just occupying.
You're always talking about a lot of people. We got 7 people there. That's what we
yeah,
got.
Yeah, that's not enough.
That's
I'm
the
talking
reality
at least 100.
Right, there are not 100 people. There
at
are
least
7
50.
People. And the question is, what can those 7 people do in the next week that will be most effective and those who may join them?
Well, just
and that's the real question.
What's, you know, they can only do what's physically possible in reality, you know,
yeah,
that's
true.
Keeping going as it is.
You don't have the number of City Hall, do you, that City Hall payphone?
No, I don't have the number.
Okay, if anybody has the number...
Somebody will call it in. Okay, I'm going to get off now.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, thank you, Al.
Sure.
All right, keep up the good work.
Sure.
I saw you there last night at 2 in the morning, freezing your butt off.
All right.
See
ya.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Al's a supporter of the the sleep out at City Hall for homeless rights. And if anybody does have the number of that City Hall payphone, I'd appreciate it if you'd call in here. I'm trying to write a PSA for the station so the station can call in and get updates from the campers at City Hall. I don't happen to... Wait a minute. I think I do have the number with me. For heaven's sake, I bet I do. I bet it's right here somewhere in this wallet of mine. Oh, wallet of mine... well, if anybody has it, call in and give it to me. Maybe you'll catch it before I will. We're coming into the last few minutes of the show.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
The number is 425-9679.
425-9679. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Ask and ye shall receive. Mamma mia. That sounded like the voice of Glad Eyes Gloria, who has been taping this show since time began, making tapes of Bathrobe Spears broadsides to send to corrupt people in other cities and spread the good word. And indeed, that has been happening in San Francisco, though I think she's recently been limited by lack of a dubbing tape recorder. So if anybody has a dubbing tape recorder they want to lend out to Gloria to make sure this show and others, and she's a regular listener to this station, and a regular recorder gets on to other cities, other free radios, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and you can help spread the good word. And the number to call if you want to get in touch with the City Hall sleepouters is 425-9679. And I hope that free radio DJs will broadcast this PSA repeatedly, because even though we have lots of interesting one-time flyers up here, this sleepout has been going on every night, and it is intimately concerns people we know very closely, we pass every day in this town, who suffer, and some of whom die, because of the criminal negligence of the City Council and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless in this whole matter. I'm again going to try to finish this damn story in the Sentinel before the time runs out. The impending winter shelter closures, coupled with the city's camping ban, have prompted a handful of homeless advocates to begin a 24-hour vigil at City Hall to bring attention to their plight. Police have been keeping the area clean. No, campers have been keeping the area clean. Police have been picking up signs, destroying property, harassing people who are sleeping, and apparently seizing dogs, and maybe beating people across the street. Let's get this story straight, Sentinel. I don't think that's likely to show up, but that is, in fact, what is happening. Police have been keeping the area clean, according to our clean-cut reporter, Karen Clark, and arresting campers who refuse to move along. It's helpful, except those who are protesting know darn well the city and social service providers have been wrestling with this issue for months, said Marceau. Actually, they've been wrestling to keep the issue from public view for months. Marceau is the man who closed the campground.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
That quote you just wrote, by Rockin, quote, the city would not run such a program, not in its lifetime,
right,
end quote, said Mayor Mike Rockin.
Right.
Okay, well, just look, he continues, quote, people think about a campground because they have the illusion it's free or cheap, end quote.
Right.
This contradicts what Scott Kennedy is saying at the last paragraph, quote, I felt the site was, well, he felt that the site was inappropriate for a winter campground because of drainage, but the campers were willing to overlook that. It was the best they had. But what's contradictory, he says, a campground can and should be a relatively cheap way of providing emergency or transitional housing, end quote. So Rockin and Kennedy end contradicting each other in the article. Also, I think Rockin says, is all over the board, as is Kennedy, but a little less so. And we don't know how accurate these quotes are. I think of a campground because they have the illusion of spirit. Not in this lifetime, said Rockin. Well, if you go back and it's on tape, I was there and I haven't listened to the tape. My tape record's broken, but he definitely did indicate that if there was a program, and apparently programmatic nature of this doctrinaire Marxist is de rigueur, that it be so abstractly formally planned,
you're talking about
as to
Mike,
be almost unobtainable.
Mayor Mike Rutkin is who you're talking about.
Yeah, his comment about in contradiction here to contradicting himself in earlier meetings
Yeah, I remember that. I was at the meeting when...
City Council. Yeah. He's not at all... He said he's not against it as long as it's properly planned.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. If you remember at that CDBG hearing when money was being thrown at the Community House Project, and even City Council member Celia Scott was saying, hey, look, let's put some money aside for SOS. Rotkin said, hey, it's no problem. All they got to do is come up with a program and a site, and then we'll consider it.
Kennedy said, money's no problem.
And Rotkin said, come up with money in the site, and you don't even have to put aside money. That was his excuse for not putting aside any money at that time. Now we see in the paper, if the Sentinel is accurate, which of course is highly dubious, but nonetheless, taking what the Sentinel said, that Rotkin now says, no campground in my lifetime. I mean, come on, Mike, give it a rest, big guy.
Well, apparently they're thinking about a voucher program. Sharon Conabo, I met her yesterday, and she said there was a meeting last week. Maybe there were meetings last week, but there was, I guess, also a meeting on Monday, is what the paper says, in which they're kicking around
the idea of continuing
with the voucher system in the state parks.
Right. They're talking more blather.
The number she mentioned was 90. No, I don't think it's blather at all. I think they're serious. I don't want to discount or discourage their efforts. I wouldn't slam Paul Marceau at all. You know, I have practically no interaction with him, but he is the man responsible. He makes all of $20,000 a year for all the work he does.
I think
there.
It's 28,
and he does a substantial amount of work. And I believe, apart from his statements in the newspaper, he may be under pressure to have withdrawn. But his statement from City Council, which I heard him telling the city that the community house site was not going to become a community house, then it could be used as an alternate, as an open air shelter.
That's not what he says here in this story.
That's not what he says in the paper.
And that's not what he said at every CCH meeting I've ever heard him talk at.
I thought he said that at City Council, though, that it could be, the present site could be continued. And of course, if they're not going to get started with construction, why not open it up as a campground again?
Well, of course, that's the obvious thing. But unfortunately, Marceau, at least to my recollection, and maybe you have some quotes I don't have, has always said the opposite, particularly since he was the one who closed the campground in violation of his promise to the campers.
But I figure that decision was really usurped by the City Council.
I don't think so.
You know?
I think that's the excuse that Paul Lee, his master, who is the man on the board of directors, Lee has always tried to appear the good guy in this situation. They did the same kind of shell game back in 1991 when they closed the campground.
Yeah, but whether we catch people in contradictions, and that's a difficult and tedious thing to do. You have to have the tape or record of it to be sitting right there and hearing it and get it down to quote. Whether we do that or not is moot to what happens now and how much pressure is brought to bear and who does what to get what apparently we want. And we do have to decide really what we want, whether you want a campground for 90 or two campgrounds for 150 or an inside space somewhere, a building somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't like the illusion that's being created by all these meetings that something real is happening. I think that's hogwash, and I think that people like Barbara Riverwoman and Sherry Conable are being persuaded that things are happening when they're not. I mean, what we see is what's happening in the newspaper. Zero, zilch, nothing. That we hear promises and pleas from Celia Scott to be at some sort of lifting of the camping ban. She promised that at an open-air shelter meeting 2 months ago, if there had been no emergency shelter. I see no action from her on this. And frankly, I'm going to continue ragging these folks until they get off their butts and keep their commitments. And a lot of bogus meetings don't mean shit to me.
That's what they do for a living, is to meet and decide about policy. And so they're not wasting their time if they're taking it up as an issue.
If they wanted an emergency shelter, they would have decided so in October. If they wanted one, they could have done it in November. They could have kept it open in December.
Personally, I think they've already made a decision to go forward, just based on what Conable said, because he's been privy to
anything on what Conable says.
Well, I think they've already decided to go forward with voucher program at state parks for 90. I think they've already decided.
Well, that's great, but it's not going to deal with the realities of a situation for 500 to 1,500 homeless people in this area unless they suspend the sleeping ban as well.
That may be a little high. We'd have to take the number of the average number or the number that's appearing at the armory right now.
It's not sufficient. There are hundreds of people who don't go to the armory.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, but anyway, my view differs from you on this, Chris, but I know you've been closely following it, and you're certainly, been speaking out about it quite
well. If it were merely a matter of filibustering it, you'd have it won hands down. It's not any important that you're continuing to give it continued media attention.
And I know you're also on the email, giving out information and giving your own unique perspective on this matter all the time. And I'm glad you are. I don't see anybody else doing it except for some trashy right-wingers who are attacking panhandlers downtown.
Yeah, they are. There's some short flames that are really
pretty disgusting.
Provocative.
Sounds like you got an incoming call.
I don't even like to bite into them. I just ignore them, but I did respond to one recently.
I know, I noticed that. Well, listen, thank you, Chris, and call again.
Thank you, bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Crossroads' Chris Brazda, who's much more open to the, and trusting, one would say, of the activities of city council members who are investigating open air shelter and of some of the community activists who I've had cause to complain about, namely Sherry Connable and to some extent Barbara Riverwoman in the past few months because of what I regarded as closed meetings and essentially tailoring a program to please city council members who really can't be pleased to begin with, and you shouldn't even try to please them. You should assert the needs of the homeless, empower homeless people to press for those needs, and then deal with the city council. That's really the only way I've seen progress made in other cities, and I think that's the only way it's going to be made here. But that's just my view. Here's another call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, what happened to Rodkin yesterday on KSCO?
Oh, you know, Rodkin canceled on KSCO. He was supposed to be there at 5:10 when I called in.
Wimp!
He was gone.
Wimp!
He went out.
Wimp!
Well, you know,
what are you hiding from, Mikey?
Hey, Mike just didn't show. He might have been real busy avoiding the emergency shelter issue. He had a meeting with the Women's Commission on Violence, met yesterday on youth teen violence against teens. And actually, homeless people got to that meeting and they tried to shut us up, but Catherine Byers found that we had to be allowed to speak at oral communications. So we spoke for about 2 or 3 minutes each.
See, that free speech thing gets him every time.
Well, Rodkin muzzled 3 people anyway. He would not allow people to speak who I think had really important things to say, who were from the sleep out. One guy named Dennis, who's been to... He was in a similar protest in 1992 in Visalia, California, where they were able, through after 6 weeks of protest, and I get 3 weeks of protest and 6 arrests, they opened up the parks to the homeless, and the parks are still open. In essence, they ended the sleeping ban in Visalia, and believe me, they have not been inundated by homeless people, according to our man, who hopefully could have kind of passed that information on to worrywart Mike Rodkin, who apparently is concerned that we're going to be inundated with hordes of homeless, or at least hordes of anxieties from the Downtown Business Association.
Well, the whole country is going to be inundated with more and more homeless people every day, and I think it's something that we better just learn to deal with.
You've
and
got
if it's
it,
something
yeah.
that we can't deal with, we better overthrow the system as we know it.
Oh, fine. Revolutionary talk.